Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good morning. Good morning, good morning. I trust everyone can hear me well. We praise God for a new day, a sunny day, a day that He has made and He has given us breath and life. And we worship and we thank Him. And we are glad you have joined our Friday Fellowship of Learners as we journey for the last chapter of Andrew Murray's book, Absolute Surrender. We are glad that you're on the line. We appreciate your presence. We have put everyone on live so that you may dialogue. We ask that you keep your phones on mute unless you want to talk, and that way we don't get the background in activity. But we do encourage interaction, and we're going to start our morning, as we have said we would, with promises from the Word of God. So we've been going through the books of the Bible and finding promises from the Word of God. And you may say, well, why are we doing this? And what is the purpose of it? But in every book of the Bible, we get the heart of the book, the very cream and the promises that didn't come from man, but they came from God Himself for us in the most intimate and personal way. They come both for our minds, our souls, and our bodies. It is a way of embracing the fact of our faith that are based on the promises and the character of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. They are the treasures of our life that we must value. And as we value them, they then release their blessings into our life. And that's what transforms our life. We can have a word that we heard, a wonderful word, an awesome song, but unless it is based on the promises and the truth of God and declared to us and through us, it is just an emotional experience. But when we grab hold to the promises of God, when we search for them, and when we get them, we call them out. We claim them. We search, and we can. It's just like a man looking for, you've seen on the movies and things where they have this device and they're on the beach, and this device is looking for valuable things under the sand. And when it beep, 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 they stop and they dig it up, and then they grab it. They possess it. They make it for their self. And they look at it, and if it has this value, they get excited about it. This means something is going to change. My monetary position in life is going to change because I found this valuable gold or whatever it is they find under the sand. And they go off, and they don't keep it to themselves. They go off, and they take the benefit of that treasure, and they incorporate it in their life, whether they go and pawn it or sell it or put it on eBay, whatever they do, they interact with it so it then will draw from it the benefit for their life. If they just leave it in the sand, it's not going to help them. If they bring it and sit it on the mantle, you know, they can look at it and they can smile, but it has not become a part of them. But when they take it and they extract the value of it out and they use that value in their life changes. That is the same concept of searching for the promises of God in the Word of God, because these are the things that God has given to us as treasures, but not to just everybody, but to those who will seek them, who will take the time to get the power, actually, of Holy Spirit and obeying it so that you go searching. Not a random, like, oh, I'm out here, maybe I'll find something. No, you go purposely, intentionally searching for something that has been left for you or left and hidden. And so as Holy Spirit leads you in your reading and in your studying the Word of God, He will reveal those hidden treasures. Because some promises we have and we know them, we said them, but we have not taken them and gotten the value out of them. So that's why we are doing this, because we're now in a season where we have grown to understand and believe that there is a more excellent way, and that excellent way is us totally surrendering our life and our will over to God Almighty, that He has a plan, and we are accepting that plan. We are releasing whatever plan, agenda, preferences, dreams, and hopes that we have. We're laying them down, and we're trusting Him to bring forth the fullness of our life through following Him, through His hand on us. And to do that, we have to get into a relationship of trust with Him. And to cause this relationship of trust to grow, we have to try the Lord. He said, try me now and see, won't I? But the only way to try Him is to find the promise that He said He would do and then reckon it to be true and live your life according to it. So it's the thing that will meet whatever lie the enemy had previously settled in our mind and in our spirit, and it'll tear it down and take it apart. And it's not true, and we'll know it's not true. God will reckon the truth through His promise, show Himself to be the one worthy to be trusted. And then it becomes a easier process of laying down our preferences and our dreams and our own will, because we will trust that whatever He does, it's going to be good. It's going to be eternal, and it is going to satisfy my very soul. It will speak to my heart, and it will also speak to my mind. And so that's why we're looking for these promises. And that's why we're looking in every chapter, in every book. So it's not, He didn't just make a few in there, here and there. He wants, His word is full of His promises. And so we have decided we're going to find them. We're going treasure hunting for His promises. And so that's why we look for a promise in every book of the Bible. At this point, we are up to the book of Psalms in the Old Testament and Philemon in the New Testament. And so the Old Testament Psalms, oh, my word, there are so many there. It's just oozing with promises of God for us. And in the book of Philemon, you know, it's like a little hidden book, hidden gem. However, there's a promise in every book. And so I'll start with Philemon. I have the Philemon 5 and 7 New International Version. I realize now there's a New Century Version, an NCV. Just amazing what's happening in the kingdom. But in Philemon 5 and 7, I hear about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints. I pray, and this is our mandate. This is our ministry of one another. It is heard abroad. It is heard abroad how we love one another. And so the prayer is that you may be active in sharing your faith so that you will have full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ. Full understanding of all those treasures that we are finding. Full understanding of how to incorporate them in our life. Your love has given me great joy and encouragement because you, brother, have refreshed the heart of the saints, the word of God to the people of God. And so in Psalms, there were just so many. And I thought maybe we just spend the day reading the promises of God out the book of Psalms. But I'll just do one. It says in Psalms 32:8, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. That's his promise. And that is the foundational power boost from absolute surrender. Absolute surrender, because he has promised, I'll instruct you and I'll teach you. So first of all, it's like forget everything that isn't in line with what my plan is. He says, because I will do it and I will teach you. He won't just do it, but he'll teach us. Meaning he has covenanted with us to walk with us, to be always there instructing and directing and correcting and encouraging us in the way that we should go. So we don't have to be, I'm not sure, I don't know. He said, I'm going to do this. I will guide you with my eye. Oh, the eye of the Lord. Hallelujah. He knows, because he sees all. And he's guiding us with what he sees, not what we see. What a freeing promise that is. The eye of God. I am being guided by the eye of God. What a treasure to embrace and then to live through, live out of, live by, to reckon to be true, and to allow it to, that kind of promise should calm our fears of the future. It should calm our fears of decisions that we have to make that we're just not really sure. He says, I will guide you with my eye, because my eye knows it. I know all. I know the end. I know the beginning from the end, because he has written us in the book of life. He has called us from before we were born with a plan for our life. One of the candidates last night said it doesn't matter how you got here, and then it doesn't matter if someone else can do what you do, you know, better than you. The point is, God don't want them to do it. He wants you to do it. Only you can do this according to God's plan. So we're not looking at the plan of the world. So I've been talking. So what are your promises? What promises have you found out of the book of the Bible? Anybody?
Good morning.
Good morning.
My sister called. She hadn't heard me. My sister called and said she hadn't heard my voice. So I said, let me find some promises. Before I went on my trip, I wasn't on that Friday, and then I was on a cruise that Friday, so I missed two Fridays. You want to hear my voice. So my first, I just grabbed something by not knowing where you're at, Isaiah 41:10. I said, so do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteousness right hand. And then one in John 1:16, out of his fullness we have all received grace in place of grace already given. Amen.
Hallelujah. Awesome. And I pray you had a wonderful cruise. Enjoying
yes,
the joy of the Lord. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Amen. Well, good to have you back.
Yes. Mine's come from Psalms 47:1-4, and from the TLB version, and it says, come, everyone, and clap for joy. Shout triumphant praise to the Lord. For the Lord, the God above all gods, is awesome beyond words. He is the great king of all the earth. He subdues the nation before us and will personally select his choicest blessings for his Jewish people, the very best for those he loves.
Hallelujah. We're getting some powerful blessings here. Anyone else?
Good morning, Overseer.
Good morning.
From Psalms 125 and 2, as the mountains surround Jerusalem, so Yahweh surrounds his people from the time forward and forevermore. And, you know, the one everybody knows, Psalms 23 and 4, even though I walk through the valley in the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. There are so many. I just pulled up Psalms. There are so many. There are so many in Psalms. I laid myself down and slept. I awakened, for Yahweh sustains me. And that's out of Psalms 3. I know that they're just tons. I mean, I just plugged in, just said promises from the book of Psalms, and a gazillion came up. A book came up that gives you a page of them just to look at the book, and it must be 30 on the page, you know, just out of Google or whatever. But there are so many, I think, that we think of that we don't, sometimes in reading, we don't really think of them as promises to us. So I think it's important. I like this little section that you've carved out where, you know, we can share. Psalm 68:19 says, "Blessed be the Lord who daily bears our burdens, even the God who is our salvation." Know that Yahweh, he is God. It is he who has made us. We are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. You know, from the 100th number of Psalms. Some of these are NIV. Some of these are King James. But yeah, there are tons in the Psalms.
I've shared today, we can stay in Psalms with just doing blessings and the promises of God out of the Psalms. Absolutely. Anybody else?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Psalms 121, 7 and 8. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. And that one stood out to me because I just don't like driving anymore because the people are just so crazy out there. And so that one stood out to me because, you know, with them driving so crazy and I have the kids in the car, I'm always fearful that somebody, you know, might run into us because, you know, it has come so close many times with them just driving very foolishly. So that
Amen.
Stood out. And I wasn't sure what you, which scripture you read from Philemon because I was trying to get myself together here. But sometimes, like Elder said, sometimes the scriptures doesn't really sound like a promise. But what stood out to me was, I pray that the faith you share may make you understand every blessing we have in Christ. I have great joy and comfort, my brother, because the love you have shown to God's people has refreshed them. And that's from the Everyday Bible.
Amen.
So I, you know,
amen. And that was what I shared from a different version.
Mm-hmm.
I like your version. Amen. Amen. What a blessing! I, you know, we could linger in the blessing in the promises of God. It's like lingering in His love. It's like just being embraced by His heart. Sometimes, you know, we don't feel connected to Him. We don't feel you know, religious or Christian. We just have our humanity kind of drowning us in the cares and the concerns of this temporal life. And yet his promises kind of lift us up. I love it. That's one of the promises I was going to use. I knew that Elder Roberta would chuckle at it because we had talked about it. It says, it is God who arms me with strength and makes my way perfect. He makes my feet like the feet of deer and set me on my high places. So that the book we and the allegory we share a love for, high places.
High feet in high places.
Thank you, Elder. And that was one of the promises out of Psalms. But I said, well, I won't read that one. But I'm glad I got to read it anyway. But just like Elder Deborah says, there's so many. But it's like it is he who arms us with strength and makes our way perfect. So we don't have to try to live perfect. We don't have to do that. He said he does it. He arms us with the strength. He gives us the strength to do it. It is through the power of Holy Spirit because Christ was raised from the grave, and he is in heaven. That power, he said, would come down to us through the day of Pentecost and the Holy Spirit. And that is the power that will bring strength to our life and perfection in our walk. But it comes from him. It says he makes me. He makes my feet. He makes my feet. That's that prayer. I am willing to allow you to make me willing to do your will and then to be able to do it, to will and to do your good pleasure. Praise God. So these are powerful promises that, just like Elder was saying, how it changes how we interact in the world. You know, crazy people driving. But we got a hope. We got a different hope. You know, we have a hope that they don't have. Their hope is temporal, you know, and it's based on things that are changing, always changing. You never know if it's going to be this way or that way. It's going to be a good day, a bad day. But, you know, it says God is on his throne. He is unchanging. He is intentionally pursuing us, each individual, not a whole group of people that's faceless, but individual people that he knows every hair on our head, and those that have fallen out, and those that we've died, those that we've cut. And he knows these things, and he cares. Whatever concerns you, he cares about. So he is not a taskmaster that doesn't have a heart for his children. He's a father who loves dearly. He calls us beloved. There's one thing to be called love. But when you are beloved, that is so much more an intimate connection that is like inseparable. You can't separate it, the be from the love. Be love. We are. That's who we are. Hallelujah. We just thank God for this journey with Andrew Murray, a man who lived so many years ago, two centuries ago actually. And yet he deposited the power that he received under his anointing in words that reached into the 21st century. He was an 17th century man?
17th century? Well, yes.
Thank you. Do it for me. And he's reached two centuries. He's reached and brought that. That's how powerful the word of God is. Not the man of God, but the man of God who surrendered to the power of God. That's how powerful the power of God is. It transcends the generations. And just as he says, it was a song the Lord had in my heart this morning. I can't remember it now. But he's still on the throne. His power is no less than it was from before time was, before the earth was. He is the king of the universe. He He is the great I am. And so those promises that come from such a powerful place are worthy of us obeying and using as a foundation for our lives. So going forward, you know, in this absolute surrender, anybody else?
Obviously, I just wanted to share that as you were saying that, when you were talking about the different promises in the Psalms, as I'm just looking at this and just hearing people read in our hearing, that it's either I or he, either God speaking to us saying, I'm going to do whatever it is he's going to do, or someone testifying of the greatness. I mean, like just in, like I said, just in the few that I have in front of me. But and so that even in just reading down, you know, like sometimes when we have those, you can get those books for a buck or whatever, dollar store, the promises books, as you just sometimes just as a word of encouragement to just read the promises, not necessarily in context, because most of them kind of jump out at you. This one that I'm looking at right now is Psalms 46. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted among the earth. And then for this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even to the death. That's Psalms 48 and 14. Behold, God is my helper. The Lord is the one who sustains my soul. And when we think about that whole soul man, that's just, you know, all of the, you know, our will, our reasons, our proclivities, our affections, the portion of us that the Word says that we have to work out our own soul salvation, that we have to surrender those pieces of our personality, those components of our flesh that are not reborn, you know, when our spirit man is reborn. Mm-hmm. So you know, when it says that God is my helper and the Lord is the one that sustains my soul, cast your burdens on Yahweh. He will sustain you. He will never allow the righteous to be moved. And that sounds, you know, 55 and 2. For he has been a refuge to me, a strong tower from my enemy, Psalm 61 and 3. My soul rests in God alone. My salvation is from him. 62 and 1. I laid myself down and slept. And this is the one I read before. I awakened for Yahweh sustains me. Sometimes I think we think, you know, I get up, I set the alarm. But, you know, if God does not touch us, we will just be there. Somebody else will come and move us, you know, if we are not sustained. It says that my soul, and I think that whole soul piece, because I think we have done such a disservice on mixing up and confusing spirit, soul, and body, that whole triune with body, mind, and spirit, and heart, and soul, and body, just all kinds of different little trinities that we make, you know, but when the scripture says my soul stays close to you, your right hand upholds me, when our soul stays close to him, the only way that can happen is that we are staying in his word, that we are being obedient to his word, because our soul man wants to go out and feed our flesh and those kinds of things. So this has been very, you know, encouraging to read this. And for those who might be going through sickness in their bodies, that the Psalms gives many, many scriptures that talks about lifting us up and comforting us in our time of illness and off our sick bed, and, you know, I cried to him and he healed me, those types of verses. So, you know, so it's been good. Thank you for that.
Amen. One of the things, one of the leaders who does the forward to this book that I'm reading, God said, I promise, I love you, I promise. And he said, this is a book he leaves on his desk, and he uses it for counseling. You know, sometimes we don't have the words to say, but there is not a promise that does not fit any every need that a person might have. And so it's often he found the best thing to do is to just give them the promise. We don't have to beat people up with the word of God, but impart and share with them the love of God through his promises. This one that you were going through, and I'm turning the pages because they're page, that, you know, and as you're going down, it's going down by pages. But where you stopped in Psalms 69, it says, all shall live in joy. The humble shall see their God at work for them. No wonder they will be glad. All who seek for God shall live in joy. This is a promise. It is mine. And he has given it. And he has given it because he has covenanted to bring it to pass. And so it is not a study, but a journey as we're seeking to find the buried treasures in the Word of God, reading the Word of God. And sometimes we read it, we're studying it for different topical reasons, preaching or teaching or seasonal requirements and projects and different things like that, or even the books that we go through. But to purposely pick it up to look for the treasures of his promise, he said, if you seek me, you're going to find me. He's going to make sure Holy Spirit leads us right to the promises. Well, the devil said it just jumps out at you. You know, it wants to be found. It's waiting on you so that the benefits that lie in it can now be infused in our lives, in our hearts, in our thinking, and then we don't have to respond to the world out of fear or out of insecurity, but we are confident in the faith that we have in Jesus Christ. And I believe that that's a perfect, what we're doing is a summation of the absolute surrender. And the last chapter, this is what branch life is all about. It's living in the promises. This is what branch life is all about. Anymore. Okay. So we are coming to the close of the book. A very interesting emotional time for me because it's such a powerful book, and we want to make sure, you know, Lord, we don't want to run through it so we say, okay, we did this book, what's the next book? No. You know, it's like, Lord, that message that you gave this prophetic writer, have we received it? Have we gotten the point? Have we gleaned something that will change the way we think, which will change the way we live? Are we changed by the truth presented to us? And one for this season our journey is made easy because of the faith facts that you have presented to us in absolute surrender. Something that I think in most Christian lives we don't even consider. We feel so far from it that it'll never happen. I can, you know, two-thirds, you know, maybe even 90%, but 100% can happen. And this book is saying it can happen. He has coveted so it will happen. And we just need to trust him. And this is an ongoing journey. We thank him for not abandoning us because of our stubbornness or our foolishness or our ignorance. He has not abandoned us because he knows us. And even in knowing us, it does not cause him to cease to love us and to long for the relationship with us. And so the absolute surrender is ending with the blessing of branch life. And that's what the promises of God are. They're the blessings of branch life. And so when we look at them, and as we shared it today, it encompasses every phase of our lives. Elder shared whether you're sick. There's one over here that says, Psalms 86, this is, I will call to you whenever trouble strikes, and you will help me. That's it. I call, you come. That's how it is. And actually, I call, you're there already. But you were waiting on me to surrender it to you so that you would do it your way. So that's what we're learning. I've seen that scripture before, but I understand it better now because I'm thinking I'm calling and I got to wait on him to come. No, I call, he's waiting on me to give it to him so that I am absolutely surrendered to his process. And then I will see that trouble strike as what it said before. I'm in joy. I have joy. What do you mean, trouble strike? I have joy. Because it said, because I was looking for him. And it says all that seek him shall live in joy. That's it, living in there. And I'm visiting it from time to time. Joy, totally satisfied with the way he is managing my life. And so we are at that point in acknowledging the blessings of branch life. The author shares with us five, I think, elements of that. And his prayer at the end of the first summary in the day's lesson was, may God deliver me from every false thought about the Christian life. What a prayer. What a prayer. In the name of Jesus, may God deliver me from every false thought about Christian life, because that's where the problem starts and continues with false thoughts about the Christian life. And who knows better about the Christian life than Christ himself? And so let him be who we study, who we hear, who we seek, and that, you know, what would Jesus do type scenario of living. And that comes to total dependence. Absolute dependence. So the first place is a life of absolute dependence. The branch can do nothing. It depends on the vine for everything. And what we went through, abiding in Christ. And if somebody can get that out of the Passion, if that's a Passion version we've coming across of that John 15, that was the Apostle? Yes. I get the assistance of our apostle this morning. You know, I need to abide in Christ's book so that I can see what was our scripture at the beginning of abide in Christ.
It was John 15, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was John 15. I'm not sure the verses. I'm just going to have a book to look at it. Yeah. And so that we can read it out of the Passion Bible. Yeah, God, yeah. Hmm. Blue Violet, Green Lips. It should be over there. Maybe it's that backwards. Yep. Okay.
I think we start, I think it's 1 through 10, kind of, because it starts, I am the true vine. You know what I mean? That John 15
okay,
passage.
Yeah. Okay.
Which is what we were reading.
So we want to do 1 through 12 out of the Passion Bible because I think that that is what it looks like as the author here is sharing with us the blessings of that. And we just want to, before we finish, definitely look at that. I thought it would be interesting. I wondered.
You want that in the Passion?
Yes. But just those other
do you want me to read that or does someone have that?
Look, you can read it.
Okay. This is John 15, beginning at 1. I am a true sprouting vine, and the farmer who tends the vine is my Father. He cares for the branches connected to me by lifting and by lifting and propping up the fruitless branches and pruning every fruitful branch to yield a greater harvest. The words I have spoken over you have already cleansed you, so you must remain in life union with me, for I remain in life union with you. For as a branch severed from the vine will not bear fruit, so your life will be fruitless unless you live your life intimately joined to mine. At the fifth verse, I am the sprouting vine, and you're my branches. As you live in union with me as your source, fruitfulness will stream from within you. But when you live separated from me, you are powerless. If a person is separated from me, he is discarded. Such branches are gathered up and thrown into the fire to be burned. But if you live in life union with me, and if my words live powerfully within you, then you can ask whatever you desire, and it will be done. The eighth verse, when your life bears abundant fruit, you demonstrate that you are my mature disciples who glorify my Father. I love each of you with the same love that the Father loves me. You must continually let my love nourish your hearts. The tenth verse, if you keep my commands, you will live in my love just as I have kept my Father's commands. For I continually live nourished and empowered by his love. My purpose for telling you these things is so that the joy that I experience will fill your hearts with overflowing gladness. 12th verse, so this is my command. Love each other deeply as I have loved you. For the greatest love of all is a love that sacrifices all. And this great love is demonstrated when a person sacrifices his life for his friends. That's through the 13th verse.
Amen. Amen. So as we hear in that dissertation from Christ about branch life, the purpose of it, the source of it, the maintaining of it, the fruit of it, the joy of it. Pretty nice plan God got for us. I know that as we understand each element of it, our lives will be according to the prayer that we had in the chapter before, which is, oh God, let my life be a proof of what the omnipotent God can do. Let my life be a proof, living example, epistle read by all men, of what the living God can do. Not an epistle of John or Paul or of Luke or Philemon or Peter, but the epistle of, put your name in there, the epistle of Paul. Let my life be an epistle, a book that people will see and know the omnipotent God, what he can do. This is what his power has done. And because it is only when we surrender to that power has he brought us into his will and his way. And so the author lists, I think, five things, and he goes through them each in each section, the absolute just dependence on God, the deep restfulness that we get as a blessing of this, the much fruitfulness, the close communion, all outlined in that John 15, and then the total surrender. It says, oh, we find the Christian life so difficult because we seek God's blessing while we live in our own will. That's why it's hard. We're seeking his blessing but we're living in our own will. And he says, but surrender And then the will of God and the blessings of God will bring the life of joy that he intended for us to have. This is the life that Christ takes. He didn't do all that suffering so that we can be mediocre or we can live in, as the apostle says, in Lodabar, below the bar. Absolutely not. He did this so we could live in the realm of joy. And not many people find that realm unless they find their place in Christ, where they trust and they have surrendered. And then it will bring forth, can you imagine having a blank check out of a bank account that doesn't have a limit? That's what Christ promised us in that 15th chapter of John. You will ask what you will, and it will be done of your Father. That's a blank check out of a bank that don't have a limit. All the cattle on 1,000 hills belong to him. And actually, the hills belong to him, too. You know, and everything belongs to this omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent God. And he has given us an invitation to abide in his Son, and he will be the one to maintain the connection. It is him, not us. It's not us because we prayed three times toward the Son. It's not us because we read our word and fasted. It's us because he has willed us to be there, and then he has given us what we need to be there. So all of it is a gift of God, an awesome gift of the King of the universe has been given to us. And all he asks is to surrender actually the dumb stuff that doesn't work anyway and doesn't do anything but hurt and harm you and end you up in a reprobate, wretched state. Hey, sounds like a good plan to me. Give it up. And so he has covenant with us to help us get to that place of surrender. And he understands, you know, we're not going, today I'm perfect. No, he's saying, but I know your heart. When that is your heart, then I am going to bring it to pass. That was a couple of the things that we're going to look at going forward. And when we were starting in this book, I asked you to, just as a sidebar, circle everywhere you see the word heart. And it occurred in so many, I didn't really count them all, but in so many places in this book, because that is an important place. That's where it starts, in the heart. And so we're going to start looking at that. And that's when it's going to start revealing the things that he intends to bring us to perfection in. He's not going to start with all 33. There's 33 precepts that are presented to us in the book of Matthew. I encourage you to read the entire Sermon on the Mountain, because that's where the source of our information is going to emulate from. And then 1st and 2nd Corinthians. We are sending out some information to you, and that's, you know, going forward for next week. But we're going to start with, I emailed, I hope everybody that I have the email address of. If I don't have your email address, please call and text it to me. But I've emailed you the food inspection. So one of the things that is evident and that the world needs and that God requires, as she read in that interesting version of John 15, is fruit, because that's how the world will know us, by the fruit. That's what he's looking for daily, the fruit. So we want to look at the fruit, what it is, and our attentiveness to it. We're going to do a fruit inspection, is what it's called, because the third benefit of branch life is, and I love it, he says, it is fruit, then more fruit, then much fruit. And so we want to do a fruit inspection. Do we have fruit? Do we have more fruit or much fruit? Now remember, he is moment by moment, and that's throughout the book, moment by moment, he is inspecting the branch so that whatever is there that should not be, whether it's pesticides, you know, bugs, or inner decay, or dryness, or over moisture, whatever is there that would harm the production of fruit, he is there inspecting it and bringing it to light so that it may be corrected. That's job of Holy Spirit, to bring correction through teaching and guiding us, and comforting us as we're being taught, as we're being corrected, because often we need comfort while we're being corrected, because it's a painful process. You know, he's cutting something away. That hurts. But Holy Spirit is there to bring a comfort in that and through that process, so that we will surrender the more to it and not resist it. And so it says, one of the things I like, it says, we all confess there is a great deal of work, a great deal of preaching, teaching, and visiting, a great deal of earnest effort of all kinds in the Christian's life. So we're really busy doing a lot of things. But there is not much manifestation of the power of God in it. And that makes you think, okay, let's stop. Let it stop, because we don't see the fruit. We don't see the fruit. And it's something that he's bringing to our attention, something that doesn't need to be there, something that doesn't need to be surrendered. And so we get to that place where we then examine ourselves and say, oh, Lord, here's a spot. Here it is. I'm giving it to you. And why? Because of this close communion. That's the fourth blessing of branch life. We become so much closer to God, so much closer to his heart. Not his heart, but we're relaxing in his hand. You know, you can be next to someone. They can even hug you, but you're rigid in your back. And that's not a close communion. But when your muscles relax and you become a part of the connection, okay, then that's a closer communion. That is truly a communion. And it says, but because the abiding work is the work of the heart, not a work of the brain. It is the work of the heart clinging to and resting in Christ, a work in which Holy Spirit links us to Christ Jesus. Oh, believe that deeper down than the brain, deep down in the inner life, you can abide in Christ, so that every moment you will know, bless Jesus, I am still in you. And so the author basically ends with the absolute surrender and the concept of the blessing of branch life, that he wants us to first become aware that it exists, and then that it is ours. And it has been, we have been invited to come and to enjoy this communion. So as you end the book and the reading, what was your insight? What was the thought that Holy Spirit brought to your mind? What was the joy of this part of the journey that you experienced?
Hello.
I just enjoyed the whole book. I don't know. I can't really point a finger at one particular thing, but I do know that it caused to take a deeper look at yourself and your relationship with the Lord. It caused you to just examine yourself. And I think that is the most important thing, you know, to examine yourself and see just where your relationship is. And as what comes to my mind is, you know, our apostle always say, and she has mentioned on many occasions about who is Lord of your life, you know. Mm-hmm. And this book just brings, you know, cause you to think in that area, you know, who is Lord of your life? Is he really Lord of your life? And so it helps you to take a look at yourself, and not just at yourself, but at your relationship with him.
Yeah.
Amen.
Connecting. How was I connecting with God? The connection.
Yeah. Amen. 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 Anybody else?
Yes, mine was, I think it was last week when we were speaking about studying God, studying
how
he went about all these things. And that made me to start all over with this book and then start studying, you know, and try to, you know, live my life better in that way, you know, and realizing that absolute surrender, meaning that that you can't do it in your own strength and you do need help. And when you continue to put God first, and when he leads you to talk to someone or go to someone, he's giving you what you need, you know, and stop thinking you can do it on your own, in your own strength. You have to surrender it all to God. And so studying him is going to be a life journey.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen. And then, they can go ahead.
Yeah.
What I got out of the book is that we think, I think I'm in a certain place, and because you've been in church a long time and we have not completely surrendered and put, he's given us another chance to get it right when it comes to a group like this and studying that we, of all our shortcomings, because the word of God said all have sinned to come short of the glory of God, and we sin every day, but we don't practice it. So I got out of the book that I need to do more surrendering, and I thank God for the book, for the fact, let me know I'm not where I'm supposed to be, but if I continue to search the scripture and seek him, I will be there. But only one's perfect is God. But I thank him for letting me know that I got, it's some more work in this flush that need to be done.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Overseer, you know, as I was reading this last chapter, I won't say in the whole book, but, you know, I mean, all these things just kind of go together. Sometimes it can be somewhat overwhelming. But as I was reading the chapter today, reading and listening to the chapter today, when it started to just really identify that that the grapes do absolutely nothing, that, you know, that we are the branches, and what we ultimately produce, if we are where we need to be in this process, that really we're doing absolutely nothing for the, you know, nothing in the process. And when the author said, you know, that if the branch doesn't give good grapes, he never goes back to the vine and to the branches and says, you know, these were bad branches. They know that something has been wrong with the tender of the grapes. And because we are the branches and God is the true vine, we know there won't be anything that is outside of his privy and outside of his excellence, you know, with that. But it's him just using that example. And then when we went on to say that, you know, the scripture says that the branches are fit for nothing, like for nothing, like the only thing that you can do, can't even become a pen, like you're the wood isn't even supple enough to suck up ink and write with, which is a pretty basic thing. You can almost use anything as a quill. So when you think about it, almost anything for something, you know, you can, a stick or anything, you know, but but it says that we are fit for nothing. So just that whole idea that to get into the mindset and to get out of this mindset that everything that we do that's not like God is sin. I mean, yes, when we are not being obedient, it is sin. But a lot of times we spend our time in idleness and just being unproductive. Mm-hmm. It's not necessarily that we're doing things that God says don't do. We're not doing the thing God says to do. We're not being available and engaged in the process, you know, developing ourselves and being of service to our brothers and sisters. And so I think that when we, as we start to move away from, walking in such condemnation sometimes of ourselves and others on what we're not doing according to the letter of the law, as opposed to just understanding when we just trust God and move with the leading of the Holy Spirit to just do what we know to do. Because, you know, usually at this point, and I'm saying because I feel that we should, you know, mature people that are on the line, that some of the things that we know, in fact, the author talked about it, and when he was saying that sometimes it can just be stuff like our temper. Sometimes it can be procrastinating nature. Sometimes it can just be bad habits that we continue that, hey, I'm just aloof. I like to be by myself. I don't like to share. I don't want nobody in my space. Whatever, that when we start looking at those activities and going back to that one another and being hospitable and those kinds of things, that where we can engage people and let people see the love and life of Christ in us as opposed to being just, you know, a silo. So I've enjoyed it. It's reminded me that I need to stop trying to plan and do whatever I do. Plan, we need to be prepared, but we also need to be wise enough to hear the leading of the Holy Spirit and consult Him first. You know, I know that I certainly have a perfected system of consulting Him after, but to consult Him first before I make the first move. Lord, where do you want me to go? What job? What thing? What projects? What people? You know.
Yes. Someone else was sharing? Okay. And as you were sharing, I had forgotten about the grapes. And as you were talking about it, and I was visualizing an artery and how that is, I view it. He was saying about the sap is a continuous flow from the vine. And so if the sap doesn't go all the way to the end to help facilitate the growth of the fruit, what happens, I was thinking just like with the artery has to be cleaned out. So as you were saying, it's not the branch's fault, it's the connection. And that's what God is checking every moment. He's looking at the connection. And when there's some plaque, if you will, built up, it is Him that has to remove it to open the flow from the brain. You know, and so it's like, yes, you know, we don't clean the plaque out of our arteries, okay? Something else has to do that. And so that's what God is doing so that the Holy Spirit can flow. So He identifies it. It is Him. And I just see this gardener just every day, every moment, just with his eyes on the branch, looking at this, looking at that, just in every meticulous detail, looking at our lives and our hearts and realizing, you know, and bringing to our understanding, okay, this needs to happen, so I have to let this come to their life, this come in their life, bring this to them, whether it's studying, whether it's reading, whether it's a book, whether it's trouble, whether it's a challenge, whatever it is, I got to bring it through because that's what's going to be needed to clean the plaque out so the Holy Spirit can continue to flow. And after that flow starts, we're going to know that the flow is open because fruit is going to come out automatically. Automatically, I'll have more patience. Automatically, more love.
Amen.
Automatically, long suffering. I'll find myself being more patient. I'll have more joy, more self-control. Automatically.
Long suffering, not the L word, please.
Please.
You know, Overseer, what? You promise? And you know, there was one instance where he talked about the grapes being huge somewhere. I think it was this one. I might be getting my readings mixed up, but where he talked about that they discovered that the vein, the roots were going back so far, all the way to the beginning of the river, and it produced. And that just made me think that what would we produce? Who would we being a family of God, what would we look like if we allowed our roots to just be unencumbered and, you know, and just surrender to the point that we could have, you know, bunches of grapes that were 1,000-fold, you know, metaphorically.
Okay.
I thought that was really interesting.
It is, and that's such a powerful statement. What would we look like? We'd look like Christ. We would walk in our shadows. We would walk and we would move a mountain. We would speak and people could hear. They could see. Limbs would grow. That's what we would look like. We would raise our hand and the wind would stop. The rain would cease.
Whew.
The lava would go back into the volcano. That's what it would look like. And he wants us to know this, and he's bringing it into our understanding so that we can then start longing to be like Christ. Because if nothing else, it'll save your child. It'll heal your daughter. You know, it'll fix your neighborhood. It will keep the guns. I won't have to have gun control. I will speak it, pray it, and it is. So that's it. They'll pick up a gun and it won't work. Okay, it just won't work. The power. They'll look for something, and they say that often in Christ's life they went to attack him and he wasn't there no more. So we'll just we will just pray our children out of these harmful situations just because.
Hallelujah.
Find their enemies, their angels to keep charge of them. Go get them. Where he is, watching them. Even when a word that comes that would wound his soul, slap that word back. Don't let it even reach his ears where he won't hear it. His heart won't feel it. That's what it would look like. And that's what it will look like, not if. That's what it will look like. Because Jesus never fails. That's what it will look like.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen, Mr. Paulette.
Amen.
Yes, ma'am.
If I could share this.
Sure.
And I know that this book has had to do something for me in this particular area, because I don't think I would have ever did it. I had had... a package missing that had not come, and I had gone to the post office and inquired about it and just different, you know, UPS and stuff like that. And, you know, those type of things bother me when people just don't do their jobs and stuff, come up missing and so forth. And all. So to make a long story short, I had spoken with the manager at the post office, and she said she would look for the package, which she did. And so I had gotten so upset, and I had called her back. She had told me to call her back. And so when I called her back, I guess everything had just come to a plateau. And I just went off on the lady. And and so I had just went off on the poor lady, and she had helped me, you know. And so I said, Lord Jesus. So yesterday, yesterday I went back up there and apologized to the lady and told her how sorry I was, that I went off on her, that I had no right to do that.
Mm-hmm.
and that I really appreciated all of her help because, you know, she had helped me. And there was no need in me, you know, taking my frustration out on her. And I began to cry, believe it or not. And so she came from behind the thing, and she put her arms around me, and she said, oh, I didn't take it personal or anything like that. I said, but I was wrong. I was wrong. I shouldn't have behaved like that. And so, you know, I just felt so terrible. So I know God is really doing something because in the past, I wouldn't have went back. I wouldn't have went back and apologized. I just went on my merry way. But I can see, you know, and I just thought that, you know, I would share that because I wanted to share this passage that it's the passage of scripture, John 15, but there's a note underneath it. And it says that God wants our lives to be like the fruitful branches of a grapevine. The only way to be fruitful is to remain connected to Jesus, the vine, and to let God, the gardener, prune our lives in ways that will stimulate growth and fruitfulness. God's work of cultivating, weeding, and pruning in our lives yields spiritual fruit. Just as substance comes through the vine, so fullness of life comes through faith in Jesus Christ. We need to stay close to God in Jesus Christ, the source of our spiritual growth and fruitfulness. Genuine, unconditional love overflows from the abundant love of God as given us. Only when we experience and remain in God's love can we genuinely love ourselves and others. God's joy is made complete in us as we experience His love in our lives. And as the Spirit of Truth, the Holy Spirit gives wisdom to help us examine our lives and see past our self-deception. The Holy Spirit reveals the truth of God's Word, holds us accountable to other believers, and conforms us to the image of God's Son. He can guide us to an accurate perception of ourselves. The result will be convicting, but so fulfilling that we cannot help but share the good news with others. So I just thank God for this little book that's so big.
Little book power.
And I'm a be like minister, Elder Pat. This is another book that deserves rereading. Revisiting along with Abide in Christ.
Amen.
So I just thank Elder for bringing this book to our attention.
Yes, absolutely. And I believe, and I'm glad you said that because I hope that you're going to see as we study do our fruit inspection, as we study the 33 precepts of the heart, that they tie into these books. These two books, are, and actually the other book as well, the Garden of Look at the Fruit of the Spirit. Actually, everything that we study, we're going to see is culminating in our understanding of the Sermon on the Mount and the 33 conditions of the precepts of God as it relates to our heart. And so though it may not be a book, it's all of these books. And they make reference to one another. Like I said, how many times we will find heart in this little book here. And so as we're studying those precepts of the heart, we will reference the references that Andrew Murray makes for the condition of the heart and what it looks like and how it is in the process of total surrender. And so as I said, if I don't have your, if you did not receive the fruit inspection, then you need to text me your email address, and I will get it to it. Those that maybe don't have one, Evangelist Narvella, I'll give you yours on Sunday, and I'll have it for you. Okay?
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
Oh, not a problem.
I know when I sin and when I don't. I find it like that.
Amen.
And
so, amen.
The Minister Fuller, what's so the name of the other book?
Which one?
Of which
or
book?
Have you decided of the, our next
well, I haven't,
journey?
Well, we're gonna go with the I know what you're talking about. It's not going to be the Synoptic Gospel or True Christianity. But we are going to really keep making references to these three books, Abide in Christ, Absolute Surrender, and The Gardener's Look at the Fruit of the Spirit.
I don't think I have any one of them.
Well, it's okay. It's okay because we're gonna make sure that whatever the excerpts are that we're using is gonna get to everybody. That's why I say we're really gonna need everybody's email address for this type of study to work.
Okay.
Or you know, I'll give it to you. I'll just bring a copy on Sunday for the next like 2 weeks. So it's not gonna be weekly. You'll get it in advance, so you have at least 2 weeks. And then what it's going, you're going to be charged with is applying what you have read, those that have read the book and have the book, to use those as your references as we study these things. But we are going to first just start next week will just be fruit inspection. So one of the things you want to read is somebody has to tell me where it's, I don't know the addresses of things, but the sower. Sowing seeds, and then what the word is. Those are the two scriptures and the Sermon on the Mount. So those are the things we're reading now are out the Bible. I encourage you to get those versions that are, you know, 21st century wording alongside those that are the traditional so that we can get the full impact of them. So what you'll be given is scriptures that we're reading from. Everything is taken from the Matthew and then the, probably in Matthew as well, the sower and then Galatians, the fruit of the Spirit, and then the reference books that we're going to use will be all at the top of the page. And so you kind of get like a syllabus, if you will, or something like to that nature. And so you can definitely go from there. I'm not sure, but Elder Deborah can help me because Abide in Christ, is that public domain? Is that on, you can get that digitally or audio or something? Is that one of Andrew Murray's books that we could get that way? Elder? So we will see, because I believe you can.
I believe it is.
Yeah, because we got...
You know, I don't know if she's still on the line, but I think it is.
Yeah, I don't think so, but yeah. So we'll let everybody know. But the most important thing for next week is reading the Sermon on the Mount, the sower and the seed, and the fruit of the Spirit. Okay. All right, then. Be blessed and enjoy the ministry of Holy Spirit. Tell him good morning every morning you wake up. And seek his direction for your day, for your thinking, for your hearing, and for your heart. All right. God bless you.
Minister Paulette.
God bless.
Yes, ma'am.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, ma'am.
This is Minister Hearn.
Yes, ma'am.
I need your number so I can talk to you.
Okay. Okay, absolutely.
Okay.
I will give it to you. All righty.
All right.
God bless you.
God bless you.